This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The God Who Heals.
The God Who Heals. Cancer survivor Paul Okoski wrote an article titled, My Resolve in Chicken Soup for the Soul. Here's what she writes. This is what I've decided. I'm tired of people telling me and saying how lucky I am. Remember, she's a cancer survivor. She writes, I don't feel lucky. I know I'll survive this. I am a strong person and know my glass is half filled. But please don't tell me it's full. I've sipped a few and spilled some. I will not be beat. I will fight. But I am allowed to say I'm tired, even when people who win get tired. God has sent me through a lot of stuff, and I know He'll give me the strength to pull this off. I'm going to fight, and I'm going to win. I will work at being stronger, but I won't like it. I will cherish life more. I am blessed with three wonderful kids, a family and friends who love and care are more than willing to help. I will learn to accept help graciously. I will learn that part of the loving act of holding hands requires that one person's hand be gently cradled inside another's. I will learn to willingly cradle my hand in those extended to me. And I will not forget to extend my hand to God. Daily I will pray for strength. I will not be bitter or a martyr. I will be strong. I will laugh. I will cry. I will win. So where does that kind of strength and resolve, that inner strength, where does that come from? I want to submit to you this morning that it comes from trusting in Christ. It comes from trusting in the Lord. It comes from being all in with Him. It comes from putting your life in His hands and saying, Lord, you know what's best. I'm giving it up and I'm giving to you. It comes in trusting the Bible, the Bible's God, the living God of the Bible. The God of Scripture is unique in the array of deities that present themselves in our world today. He's not an indifferent God. He's not a God away up there that doesn't care. He's not a God on a throne in a distant heaven. He's unaware and unconcerned about what's happening here on earth. He is concerned. He cares about what's happening to you. He wants to know that you know that He loves you. He's not the God who confines Himself and His interactions with humanity the inside of religious institutions. He's not exclusively inside a building because the building is not the church. You're the church. You carried Him with you in here this morning, and you'll carry Him out this door this afternoon when you finish your hoagie. And people will meet Christ when they meet you. The God of the Bible desires a personal connection, a personal relationship with people. The degree of His efforts to reach out to accomplish that is seen throughout the Bible. We see it first in the creation account. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creature that creeps upon the earth. And so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And then if you go down a little further, Genesis 2:7 tells us that God made the first human being with His own hands. The first human being made with His own hands. Listen to Genesis 2:7. And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Can you picture? Can you picture a dad with a newborn baby holding him in his arms and looking down and said, Mother and Father have given you life. And God breathed life into this first person. Think of it. The creator of this universe speaks to the heart and the soul of man on this little blue planet. We are so isolated out here. If you were to see the universe, as you sometimes see in the DVDs that we have, it is vast, vast beyond your imagination. Then there's this little blue ball, this favorite planet, this precious planet, this protected planet, special in the universe. And God deposited us here. Humanity. The Genesis account reveals that God cared for and provided for the physical well-being of the people he created. He provided food, he provided water, and then he provided a peaceful paradise in which they could prosper. But God concluded something in one of his first assessments of his creation. It is not good for man to be alone. He thought that loneliness and aloneness was life-threatening. Genesis 2:18, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. So as Genesis records, God puts Adam to sleep, the first anesthetist, because he was preparing for surgery. Then the first surgery, when God removes a rib which contains all the DNA in a body necessary for life, and with it, he creates the first woman. From these earliest accounts, the Bible tells us the history of his care and concern for people. God's care extends to our health and to our well-being. Look at Exodus 15:26 up here. I am the Lord that healeth thee. The God of the universe, the creator of it all, so vast, he looks down on you. And as he says in Jeremiah 33:6, I will bring you health and healing. I care about you. And with those words, God planted in the complex nature of humanity the necessary faith to believe that God is still in the healing business. You've got it in here. You've got the capacity within you to believe that God heals. Think about Jesus' ministry. Think about the ways in which he touched people's lives. He did 37 miracles. 26 of those miracles were about healing people. He went to them, and what did he do? Just like when Father God created man and used his hands to do it. Jesus lays his hands on people's infirm body, and he says to them, be healed. I've come to heal body and soul. I've come to heal your mind. His words, his actions were targeted to people's spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical well-being. The gospel records the account of a woman who had a long-standing debility. This was a woman who had gone to every single doctor you could possibly go to. She got raked over the coals by every one of them. There was no insurance in those days. She spent about every penny she could possibly spend on trying to find a cure, and nothing worked. In fact, not only did nothing work, but some things made her worse off than she was before she ever saw a doctor. Amen, somebody? No, don't go there. Doctors are listening to this over the radio. But then Jesus came to town. And let's turn to the account. It's up here on PowerPoint. It's in your Bible. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, verses 27 to 34. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. People surrounding Jesus, people encompassing Jesus, people pressing on Jesus. Listen, I was born in Brooklyn, New York. I rode the subways. Have you ever been on a subway at rush hour? You want to know about being pressed by people? That's it. 28, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that a virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine the faith audacity it takes to see Jesus out and then to see the crowds, and someplace in the deepest recesses of your brain, you're saying, this is never going to work. I'm never going to be able to get even near him. She knew she wasn't going to be able to talk to him. She knew she wasn't going to be able to get a hug from him. All she wanted to do was just in faith touch the bottom of his robe. And if I can do that, something wonderful is going to happen that these doctors couldn't do anything about. She was healed. There was no medication. There was no surgical or diagnostic tools. What was there? There was faith and there was healing hands. When the news spread in this town that there was a well-known sightless man, there was a man who was born blind. Everybody knew him. After this event came the reality that Jesus is in the healing business for some people. So there was a sightless man. Everybody documented that this guy was born blind. And he decided to seek Jesus out. And he got healed. So then the skeptics began to investigate. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, God's not afraid of our skepticism. God's not afraid of our questions. God's not afraid of our doubts. He's big enough to handle all of that. As long as we approach it honestly, God can handle. And so the skeptics came and they wanted to ask a lot of questions. And people started leaning towards the idea that this was a miracle. And they started saying, miracles? Nobody in their right mind could possibly believe in a miracle. 2014, nobody could believe in a miracle. You have to be a little off center to believe that in things that you can't see. Or you have to explain that which is unexplainable. The choice is up to you. And so the questions began. So they got the healed man's parents and they said, is this your son? Yeah. Was he really born blind? Yeah. Can you explain how he went from sightless to sighted? No. So then they got the kid and they said, you couldn't have been given sight by Jesus' touch. So how do you explain what happened? And he said, I can't explain it. All I know is that once I was blind, but now I see. I don't have to explain everything. Hey, listen, I'd never pick up my cell phone if I had to explain what's going on there. Something seen by those in the healthcare profession, by their own admissions, can't be explained. Some things in life defy explanation because some things can only be seen, only be understood through eyes of faith. If you believe, Jesus says, all things are possible. Only believe. The very symbol associated with the medical profession is the staff and the serpent. And it's taken from an act of physical healing as Moses led the Israelites out of bondage. As poisonous snakes began to ravage the people, God instructed Moses to make an image, a snake to be put on a staff, then hold it out for the people to see. God promised if they would look upon that image, they would be healed. There was no snake venom available. There were no doctors in the house to handle this. There was no emergency room you could whisk people off to. There was no rescue squad. What was there? What was available? Just a look. Just a look. And that look was a look of faith. That God would preserve their life. And the New Testament uses this incident as an illustration of Jesus' death on the cross and of the necessity for personal faith in him in order to have eternal life. If he wasn't on that cross, there is no salvation. If he wasn't put in that grave for 3 days, there is no salvation. And above all, if he didn't rise physically, materially, visibly from that grave, we'd have nothing this morning. This wasn't a spiritual resurrection. This was a literal, physical, material resurrection. His body came out of that ground. I believe that with all my heart. It takes faith. It takes faith to believe that God cares for you and me. It takes faith to believe God is interested and involved in your physical, emotional, and mental well-being. It takes faith to believe that God is the linchpin of all healing. It takes faith to believe God answers prayer. When people cry out to God for healing, He has many tools He can employ. Yes, God can use medication. Yes, God can use therapy. Yes, God can use any one of things, and God can also heal you divinely. God can put His hand upon you and be healed. I know this because I've seen this. You know it because you see it, but above all, I know it because I believe this book. The just shall live by faith. We live by faith and not by sight. Do you believe? New medications are considered miracle drugs, and new therapies are considered miracles because they have been put together by brilliant minds of research scientists. Brilliant minds that were programmed by God. Skilled hands of surgeons guide an amazing array of technical wonders. They plant stents in arteries, cut out cancerous tumors, repair torn and worn organs, and we are rightfully amazed. But do we stand in awe of the intricate and marvelous design of the human hand that allowed them to do all that technology? The tendons of the hand are aligned in tendon sheaths like self-lubricating pulleys, allowing the hand to work a tireless, noiseless, almost effortless fashion. If you look at that picture of the hand and the tendons and the bones, it looks like somebody wired that up. It's orderly. It makes sense. It's not an accident. It is a God incident. Only believe. But God is not only concerned about our physical well-being. In God's design, the whole person, the complete person, is comprised of a body, a mind, and a soul. Our modern psychiatry comes from two Greek words, psyche, meaning the person, and iatreia, treatment, healing, restoring. The work of psychiatry is to restore the mind, and the work of God is to restore the mind. The prophet Isaiah writes that God promises peace in the mind focused on Him. Look at Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Feel like you're going to lose it? Feel like you're about to give it all up? Focus on Him. He'll bring you back into balance. Focus on Him, believing that He can bring you back to that place where you have peace of mind. Some conditions of the mind are clinical and require professional intervention, while some conditions are not and can be positively affected by our attitude and our faith in Jesus, the great physician. American writer Norman Cousins wrote a book titled Laughter is the Best Medicine. And he readily admits that he got the whole idea from the Bible when he was in a hospital. And he was feeling really low, and somebody said, well, you know, the Bible says that a merry heart is good medicine. Well, he kind of capitalized that and wrote a book in which he told a lot of humor for people who are going into the hospital. See if any of this works for you. Did you hear about the doctor who went on a ski trip and got lost on the slopes? He stamped out the word help in the snow, but nobody could read his writing. Did you hear about the guy who goes to work with both ears bandaged? His boss says to him, what happened? And the guy says, I was ironing my shirt when the phone rang and I accidentally answered the iron instead of the phone. And the boss says, but wait a minute, that explains one ear. What happened to the other? He guy says, I was so confused that when the person called back. And then there was a kid who says this, ask this, Daddy, do all fairy tales begin with the words once upon a time? No, a whole lot of them begin with the words, if I am elected, I promise. All right, so that's that for the politically incorrect. God's promise for help and health reach deep into our emotions. Listen to His words. When you're worried or when you're anxious, meditate on these. Meditate when you're worried or anxious on Psalm 43:5. Listen to what it says. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet promise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Praise the Lord. He cares about your emotions. He cares when you're worried. He cares when you're fearful. He cares when you're anxious. And he wants to give you some helps along the way. Meditate on his word. When you're grieving or filled with a sense of loss because of something that's happened in your life, meditate on Psalm 27:10. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. All of those kids from those broken up homes where they feel like their parents have abused them, and they have. God becomes their father. God becomes their mother. God becomes the one who lifts you up. He'll never abandon you. Some mothers and fathers die, and their kids are left parentless. God can still be a father, and God can still be a mother. And isn't it interesting? He just doesn't call himself father. He calls himself mother, because there's two sides to the parental equation, and he wants to be both. When you need comfort, meditate on Romans 15:4. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Not a lot of people can do that, but Jesus can. When you're disappointed, meditate on John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We go through all of these emotional crises, and sometimes as we go through them, we feel we're all alone in it. You're not all alone in it. God is with you. Remember his promises to you and claim them. That's the big piece. You may know them intellectually. Now ask the Lord to allow you to claim them experientially. And when you're doing that, remember an overarching one in John 3:2. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Your spiritual, emotional, and physical health is of concern to God. God cares about you. Not you alone in the aggregate, but you alone as an individual. He knows what you're going through right now. He knows how desperate the situation may seem, but he wants to let you know you're not alone. The Christian's faith in Jesus Christ is all-encompassing. We place our faith and trust in him for salvation. There is no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me, he said. There is no name written among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. It's through Christ and Christ alone. He cared enough about you to come here and bring you that gift. Amen. We place our faith in him as author of our physical healing, to use a physician, to use the medication, to use the therapy, and yes, the miracle of divine healing. We place our faith in him to give the peace and strength needed to get through life's ups and downs. And we place our trust in him to bring our body, mind, and soul into harmony and right relationship with him. Closing thought. Visualize it as you see it up here. He who formed our frame made a perfect whole and made the body's health depend upon the soul. Is it well with your soul this morning? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you had a personal relationship with him? It's not about being in a building. It's not about being part of a denomination. It's not because you grew up in that church. It's none of those things. It's a question as to one day, did you ask Christ to come into your heart? Did you ask him to be your Lord and Savior? Did you ask him to forgive you of your sin? Did you say to him, Lord, I want to do this thing. I want to live for you. If you haven't, why not today? And if you have, and you're at a place where you've kind of grown cold and apathetic, how about warming up? How about coming home again? How about stepping in the shoes and in the traces and allowing God to speak to your heart? Let's bow our heads. I don't fully know the answer to the question I'm going to ask, but have you asked Christ to come into your heart? I would be remiss after giving a message like this about a God who cares for you if I leave out the factor that's most important to him, that your soul's in the right place. Have you asked him to come into your heart today? Pastor, I'm not sure. Well, let's make it sure. Pastor, I did, but I've kind of fallen back. Well, let's reinforce it. No, I've never done it. I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart. I've heard it over and over and over and over again, and it just went through my head in one ear and out the other. But now I feel like something made it stop today. Can I pray for you this morning? Pastor, I want to get real with God this morning. I want to be saved. I want that salvation. That was a free gift from Him. May I see your hand this morning? I see a hand this morning. God bless you. I see those hands. We can never let a moment like this disappear. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, or you're not sure, this morning is a time to make it sure. The Bible says that you have salvation if you do just what you said now. Here's what I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Father, I believe in the Jesus of the Bible. I believe He died for my sin. I believe He rose again. I believe He is your Son. I'm putting my faith and my trust in Him to forgive me of my sin. So Lord, forgive me this morning. I pray that I will be able to walk in His footsteps. Help me to be faithful. Help me on my new life's journey. Are there any here who really have kind of grown lukewarm in your faith, just feeling like you're out here drifting and you're not really sure of what you're doing because it's more like a church thing than it is a faith walk? If there'd be somebody here this morning, I'd like to pray for you. Pastor, I kind of feel like over the last several months or for a while now, I've been going through the motions. I want to make it real in my life. May I see those hands? Thank you. God bless you. Father, this morning I would just pray for those who have received You and for those who want to grow close again to You. Father, I pray You would wash away any confusion that there is. I pray today, Father, that You would help folks to take this step, a giant step but a small step, to live each day in such a way that we're walking closer and closer to You. Help our walk, help our unbelief, help us to hang on and not let go. We thank You for all things. We thank You for the fact that You are the God who heals. In Jesus' precious name we pray it. Amen and amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.